Lamentations chapter number 3. The book of Lamentations is a book that we probably don't preach out of a lot or even talk about a lot, but it's a series of dirges or songs of mourning, basically. The songs were written against the backdrop of the Babylonian captivity and the destruction of Jerusalem. And yet we find at the hand of the enemy, still in the midst of all this pain and suffering, God still had a man to preach the Word of God and give the truth of the Word of God. The writer of the book of Lamentations, I believe, to be Jeremiah. He was known as the Weeping Prophet. And his life reveals a portrait of unending sadness and deep depression. I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning about him. And as we look at some of the bright background of this precious man, we're going to find that his ministry was not one that most people would desire. People would not be fighting for that position, if you will. And yet, through it all, he continued to have hope, faith in God. Friend, I want to say to you today, I understand, and I've listened this week and heard some of the men talking about it earlier today. We've got an election this week on Tuesday. And basically what I hear people saying is, irregardless of which way it goes, there's going to be trouble. And I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what might happen. I saw in the news the other day that in some of these big cities, they're boarding up their businesses to keep the windows from being broken and the places set afire. That concerns me, and I'm grateful today that we live where we do in a smaller city. But I just want to remind you this morning, remember that irregardless of what happens on Tuesday, God is still where he's always been, and there's nothing going to surprise him. And whatever happens will obviously be his will. And I would encourage you to think that way. And I think today, and I thought it would be good to preach this message this morning on the fact that God is faithful. I tell you, no matter what, God is faithful. And I tell you today, people say, well, what are you going to do if this one gets laid? What are you going to do if this one gets laid? I'm going to do what I've been doing all along. I'm going to trust God. God's my king. He's my president, if you will. He's my leader. And I want to share with you this morning some thoughts that I hope will be a blessing and encourage to you. You may want to look at it, and I'm not going to read the scripture, but I'm just going to give you some references about Jeremiah. Jeremiah had an unwanted call to the ministry, according to chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. It was not anything he desired. It's not anything that he asked for, but yet God called him. And the Bible said even before, while he was in his mother's womb, he probably got the earliest call of anybody that we know. Not really, because God knows who's going to be what before they're ever born. He was called to a ministry of preaching nothing but judgment. I think a few weeks ago I preached on that a little bit about it, and I think in Jeremiah 1 verses 9 and 10, how he was faced with preaching nothing but judgment. I tell you, I'm glad today every now and then I can preach a message on heaven. I'm glad today every now and then I can preach a message on the love of God, which I did last Sunday morning. But yet we find Jeremiah had a ministry of preaching nothing but judgment. Jeremiah was forbidden to marry, so he gave himself fully to the ministry of proclaiming the truth of the Word of God, according to Jeremiah 16, verses 1 through 13. As a result, Jeremiah knew what it was like to be lonely. I tell you today, I know that's a bad feeling, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and we talked about the fact of going somewhere and being by yourself. It's a very difficult time, very lonely time. Jeremiah was a man of deep sadness, and he wept openly about the sins of the people, according to Jeremiah chapter 9, in verse number 1. He may have not wanted the call, but God gave him a burden. He really prayed and desired to see these people turn to Christ. He endured depression. It was a result of the message going unheeded. We find in the Word of God that for the period of time that he preached, he never saw one convert. He suffered imprisonment by King Zedekiah because the king did not approve of his preaching, according to Jeremiah 32, verse 5. And even when the Babylonians were invading the city, the fulfillment of the declarations, Jeremiah is sitting in the dungeon in Jeremiah 32, verse 2. After Jerusalem falls, and many have been killed and taken captive, The prophet does not gloat and say, I told you so. Instead, with brokenness, with the remnant, he enters into suffering. And that's what we find in the book of Lamentations in chapter 1 through 5. He's crying and he's crying out over what he has experienced and what he's gone through. Friend, there's nothing wrong with expressing our feeling of what we go through, but you'll see, according to our passage of scripture this morning that we're about to read, that Jeremiah was putting his faith and trust in God. If you have your Bibles, Lamentations chapter 3, begin verse number 21. He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith the Lord. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the word of God. Lord, I thank you for the book of Jeremiah. I thank you for the life of Jeremiah. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for the God of Jeremiah. Lord, I know today that you're with us and you'll be with us and guide and direct us in all that we do. But I pray now that your will be done. I pray that you would guide and direct in everything that's said and done. And Father, today I pray that your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And we'll be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Being in the ministry is sometimes a discouraging thing. It's easy to get discouraged along the way. But I look back and I read the book of Jeremiah, and I do like I did the other day when I was talking about going to the doctor's office. I rebuked myself when I saw people that was worse off than I was and understood I really didn't have anything to complain about. And when I read the book of Jeremiah, I feel the same way. I find a man that's been mocked, he's been ridiculed, he's been made fun of, he's been hated, he's been imprisoned, he's been ignored. And after seeing Jerusalem being ransacked, desecrated and destroyed, and experiencing the horror of war and the brutality of the enemy and the pangs of hunger, Jeremiah is still able to stand amid the rubble of the city, among the dead bodies that lie around him, and lift up his voice in praise to God for his unfailing faithfulness to his people. And I'm grateful today for God's unfailing faithfulness to us. And no matter what comes our way, we're living in a day to where we must trust God and understand that he is our help and our hope. How is it possible? Despite his trials and troubles, Jeremiah had a good grasp on the reality of who God is. Can I tell you this morning, there's a lot of people and people that profess to be saved, and I'm not a judge. I say that often. I don't know who's saved, who's not saved. But I'm going to tell you, if you're saved by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, then you ought to understand today who God is. God is the God of the impossible. The God is the God of help, strength, and hope in each and every one of our lives. And Jeremiah knew whether things went well or whether things fell apart, that God would still be God and that he would be eternally faithful to his people, according to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. Like Jeremiah, we all go through times that we fall apart at the seams. When these times come, we need to comprehend and understand who God is and understand the faithfulness of God. Thankfully, the Bible gives overwhelming evidence of God's unchanging faithfulness. The faithfulness in verse 23. The word there in verse 23, he said, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The word there means firmness, fidelity, steadiness, and steadfastness. The word pictures God as one who we can depend upon, who's one that has never made a wrong decision, one that will meet our needs, whatever they may be. And I'd like to take this passage today and point out three precious words in these verses that tell us that what Jeremiah was able to do, that we can do even in the time of sorrow or distress or uncertainty and when things seem to be shaky. Remember, if we're saved, we're standing on the rock. We're standing on the solid rock, and nothing can happen that can throw us off of that rock except we turn away from God in doing what He would not have us to do. Won't you see, number one, that God is faithful in His grace. I would just stop right there this morning and say, thank God for His grace. It's the grace of God that saved me, and I'm grateful for that. Look at verse number 22, the first part. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I'm grateful today. The word mercies is translated loving kindness. In loving kindness, He loved me and He reached down for me. And it's mentioned, that word is mentioned over 30 times in the Old Testament. It's a very expressive word. It means love, grace, mercy, faithfulness, goodness, and devotion. The word pictures God as the divine lover of men. If you don't believe that, understand what John 3:16 said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jeremiah looks back over a very difficult, a very rough, a very hard, a very life that was seemingly to him ineffective. But Jeremiah was doing what God would have him to do. And in the end, as people say today, at the end of the day, Jeremiah could still stand and praise God for His faithfulness in all that He does. The word grace, I mentioned, thank the Lord for it. There's nobody ever enters into the King of Heaven apart from the grace of God. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm grateful today that God has saved us. And He not only saved us, but He gave us His grace. He gave us His loving kindness. We could not get to God, but God came to us. We talk about somebody said, I found God. Listen, you didn't find God. He wasn't lost. It was you and I that was lost, and we came to God, but He came to us. Understand today that in this world that men live and die in their sin, and the Holy Spirit draws us to be saved. Do you know the Bible said that no man can be saved apart from the pulling or the wooing or the desire of God to draw them, to draw them to Him. Friend, it's the Holy Spirit of God that speaks to our heart. And could I tell you something shocking today? If you're here today and you're lost, you'll never be able to understand the word or the truth of the word of God. The man considers you to be a man that is a natural man. And the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So when a lost man enters into a place of preaching, there's only one hope and there's only one desire, and that is that he will hear and understand the truth of salvation, and God's Holy Spirit will work in his heart and draw him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God saves us by His grace. Friend, today we're going to heaven based on the grace of God. I tell you today, not a single one of us here deserves it. Not a single one of us today has done anything to purchase it. But Jesus Christ and His grace has bestowed it upon us. God not only saves us by His grace, but He secures us by His grace. Grace not only sought us out when we were lost in sin, grace is what keeps us in our saved condition. I believe when a man trusts Christ as his Savior, I believe it because the Bible says it. He gives us eternal life. And I'm grateful today that God does give us eternal life. And if our salvation rested on our ability to be faithful to the Lord, we'd be in trouble. But none of us would ever be saved. Praise God for His salvation that He gives us and the grace of God that He keeps us. Thank you, God, for your unfailing, unchanging, faithful grace that you give to us along the way. Just the other day, and this just happens all the time. We left Chattanooga the other night after the wedding, and we was able to get the service on the iPad. We left because there was a hurricane coming, and I didn't know when it was coming through. They said it was moving fast. I thought it was going to be the next morning, but I told Susan, I said, we just need to get on home. So we left about 7 o'clock and headed on home, and we got home about 12:30 in the morning. And I tell you, we drove in perfect weather, no rain. I'm telling you, it was a wonderful trip. Only to find out the next morning that about 4 o'clock in the morning, that hurricane came through the Atlanta area, took down trees, knocked out power. The Hicks' daughter lost power, and there's people there today that are still without power. A friend, somebody said, man, it'd been a mess for you to have been there. It would have been, but I'm going to tell you where I attribute that to. I just attribute that to God giving me the wisdom and discernment to go ahead and leave and then to get through before it came. I think about Miss Becky and them coming along the other day and what they experienced and what they saw, but thank God they wasn't involved in it, right? Somebody said, well, that was coincidence. No, there's no coincidences with God. God puts us exactly where He needs us, and He not only saves us by His grace, but He secures us by His faith. And God is grateful in His grace to us in our life. But second of all, and I like this, God is faithful in His gifts. You know, we think about it. We say Christmas coming up. What are we going to get for Christmas? Today it's not so much what we're going to get for Christmas. It's what we're going to get every day that God bestows upon us His grace. Go back to verse 22. The Bible said in the first part we read a while ago, it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's a miracle that God doesn't just get enough of us and, listen, just thump us off of here and send us to where we deserve to go. But why does He not do that? The latter part said, because His compassions fail not. He said in verse 23, they are new every morning. Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The word compassion there is a word which means wound. It means to be moved in the heart out of a love for another. To be moved in heart out of the love for another. The word is literally a picture of the grace of God. God actively moving in the life of the believer. Why in the world would God love me? Why in the world would Jesus die for me? Why in the world would God protect me? Why in the world would God supply my needs? And I tell you why. Because His compassions fail not. And friend, I don't care who you are today, it makes no difference what happens this week. God still loves you. And He loves you with an everlasting love. God's gifts are faithful. We find that in the latter part of verse 23. By the way, God didn't promise us an easy road, but He promised us one thing. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves as to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know why? Because His gifts and His faithfulness are new every morning. We find today grace is usually defined as the unmerited favor of God, love and favor of God towards sinners. It carries the idea that which comes to mean so much. It refers to the strength of God to face battles, to bear up under times of difficulty. Don't we sing these songs? Take it to the Lord and leave it there. We sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. And friend, today, everything that we have and everything that we do, we owe it all to God in order that we might give to Him our allegiance and our faithfulness to Him. With this in mind, we should always remember that regardless of what God sends our way, we can be confident of this fact. God will give us the grace necessary for the strength that we need in the days to come. You'll never face a situation in which, as a believer, in which God will not give the grace to help you to make it through. God gives a promise in Isaiah 43:1-2. We find several things about the gifts of God. And by the way, the Bible said every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I tell you, the best gift God ever gave me was the gift of His presence with me. He said to me, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. I tell you, sometimes people can leave you. A mate can leave you, or some friend can leave you and desert you. And I tell you, that's a lonely, hard, and difficult time that you may experience. But could I remind you this morning, God said He would never leave you. If you're saved by the grace of God and on your way to heaven today, listen, you can trust God. Somebody said when you can't trace God in your life, you need to come to the place where you can trust Him. When you can't trace Him, trust Him. Try Him. Prove Him. Because He's good for His Word. I love the gift of His presence, but I love the gift of God's performance. According to Ephesians 3:20, the Bible said, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh in us. I tell you, I can't believe I've been in the ministry 40-something years. But greater than that, I can say today, I can't believe that God's allowed me to do what I've done. And I tell you, I may not have accomplished a great deal, but I tell you, God's done some things through me for which I'm grateful. I don't understand it. While we were in Chattanooga, Susan and I, the first day we got there, and I hadn't been back since all this transpired, but we rode over to Orchard Knob Avenue, and we drove toward Union Avenue. You said, where's you going? We was going to a place that I graduated and she graduated from called Tennessee Temple University. We went to church there. There were several thousand people that attended, counting all their chapels. They ran 10 to 12,000 every Sunday. The main church ran about 6 or 7,000 with all the students that was there. Dr. Lee Robertson was the pastor. While right after we left, they built a huge auditorium. I mean, a huge auditorium that would seat the people. And we rode by there, and our hearts broke. Some of the dormitories were still standing. The neighborhood was run down. Construction was all around. They were building things, placing things. The old church where we used to go looked like it had just been shut up and was not being used for anything. We saw things in the foyer on the floor, like boxes and things that just looked like they just stuck them in there. And I tell you, our hearts broke. And the main building had been sold to a church, and they were using it. Friend, it broke my heart. And somebody could say, well, man, if Tennessee Temple did that, then I'm through. But friend, Tennessee Temple was only a vehicle that God used to train a bunch of people that's in the ministry, whether they're preaching or on the mission field. It's gone, but God's not gone anywhere. And God's still the same. And I tell you today, I know as we talked about it, we said, man, this would break Dr. Robertson's heart. I tell you, he poured his life into it. But focus on that word there in verse 20. Focus on the word able. If it's taken at face value, one great truth could be clear to us. God is greater by far than any problem that we have, because He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Then we see the third gift, the gift of God's provision. He said in Philippians 4:19, but my God, I like that, don't you? And you know what's so good about it is I can say it and you can too. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches that are in glory. I'm grateful today for God's provision. Psalm 37, verse 25, now unto Him. And again, this sounds, as we look at it, it says, well, I think what I did is somehow or another I copied Ephesians 3:20. down where I was thought I was doing Psalm 37:25, but I want you to know today that God's provision is great. God is interested in meeting your needs. God has promised to take care of His children. And friend, He will do what He said He would do. God is interested in the idea of caring for you and whatever you need in your life. Notice the trust that Job had in the Lord. I love Job, don't you? The Bible said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. I'm sure Job would have chosen another alternative than losing his children, losing his health, and losing his wealth. But he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. You stop and think about it. There's nothing, I believe, that we'll ever experience down here that'll compare to what Job experienced in his day. But he said, I'll trust in God. And then there's the gift of God's person. He said in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. These verses reveal the truth about God's nature, which made him reliable at all times. God doesn't change. And friend, I'm telling you, somebody said, man, back in the 70s, God was blessing the churches and God's power was on the churches and they were doing great things. Friend, I tell you, you're right. They were. And it's not changed. God is still able to do today what He did back then. I think the problem is people are not as dedicated, sold out, and receptive to the truth of the Word of God to do the work that God's called us to do. And you don't blame it on God, because God hasn't changed. He still desires that people be saved. He still desires that we build a church for His honor and glory. Somebody said, well, God just don't work like He used to. Friend, God works the same. The Bible said He's the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then God's gifts are fresh. Look at verse 23. They are new every morning. Do you know that every day when you get up, God gives you a gift of 24 hours? And I didn't compute all the minutes and the seconds, and I maybe should have. But I'm telling you, God gives you a brand new 24 hours. And we read a sign coming to church this morning, and I can't remember exactly how it went, but it basically said, God can save you every day except yesterday. Pretty good saying, because once you spend the day is spent. There's no more going back. The Bible said, Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take no thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day the evil thereof. God's faithfulness is seen in the fact today that when we woke up in our right minds with reasonable health, that we was able to put our feet on the floor, get dressed, and come to the house of God. God is faithful in His grace. God's faithful in His gifts. And lastly, God is faithful in His goodness. Look at verses 24 through 26. We're going to look at that in a minute. The word good in verse number 24, the first part, He said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. When we come to that, we understand the word good has the idea of pleasant, agreeable, excellent. It refers to the character of God, and the word reminds us that God is always engaged. God always. I think some of you have sang that song, God loves me like I was His only child. Friend, that's a wonderful thought and a great song. And I'm glad today that Jesus loves all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. But God loves me as if I was His only child. And according to verse 24a, the Lord is my portion. The word there means He satisfies. It's my share or my bounty. It refers to the spoils of war. Jeremiah was saying in the battle of life, God is my reward. God is my share. He's my portion. When he's viewed in this light, he's everything that a person needs to be satisfied. I believe it was last Sunday I read a paraphrase of Psalm 23, but I can't help remember the little boy, and I mentioned it last week, so forgive me if I mention it again. But the little boy went to Sunday school. His dad said, "What'd you learn?" He said, "We learned as part of Psalm 23, or learned Psalm 23. He said, "Well, how does it go?" He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he's all I want." Friend, I tell you, that's a great translation. That's a great understanding of the meaning. If the Lord is our shepherd, he ought to satisfy every need that we have, and he's all I want. He sustains us. Look at the latter part of verse 24. "Therefore will I hope in him." What a wonderful thought. Look at verse 25. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." According to the Bible, God will never fail those who put their trust in him. Not a single word of any precious promise will ever fall and not be honored by him. The Bible said he'll meet all our needs. He said, "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." God satisfies, but God sustains. Aren't you glad today that he'll never send you away to hell? John 10:28 said, "He that cometh to him, he will in no wise cast out." I don't know that I quoted just right, but basically understanding, he said, if you're saved, you'll never be cast into the lake of fire. If you look to him for the needs in your life, you will never be disappointed. He will sustain you through life. He shall sustain you through eternity. Know the joy of heaven. God satisfies and God sustains, but God saves. Look at verse 26. "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Those who wait upon the Lord will see him bring them out of their troubles and trials. He will not fail his children, but in time, in his time, he will deliver them from all the valleys that they walk through and they experience in this life. Can I say this morning, God knows what you need today. Can I tell you, God cares about you. Can I tell you this morning, God has the answer to every problem that you have. And I would say today, he will not forsake you, and he will faithfully meet your needs if you'll fully put your trust in him. To anyone that's lost here today, you may feel doomed without hope. I cannot imagine what it would be like to live in this day and age we live in and not have the peace of knowing Jesus Christ is my Savior. Friend, today I'm not a judge, and I've mentioned that so often because I want you to understand I don't know who's saved and who's not saved, and there's no way for me to know that other than what you tell me and what you know. But friend, I'm going to tell you the greatest decision that you'd ever make in your life was to trust God. And I was talking to somebody this week and was looking at it, and you know the Bible said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. That convinces me that there's more people lost than there are saved. Friend, today, if you don't know him, if you'll stop trusting in yourself, if you'll stop trusting in your religion, if you stop trusting in your baptism, stop trusting in your goodness, if you'll come this morning, confess your sin, God is faithful to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Great is the faith which we can stand in the midst of a wreckage of life, no matter what happens, and just praise God. Jeremiah was such a believer. I think it's important today to understand what God has done for each and every one of us today. As I face the battles, the burdens, the valleys, and the storms, and the trials of life, we'd always remember that we're his sheep. The Bible said that he would leave the 99 to go to get the one that had wandered away. Friend, this morning, great is God's faithfulness. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Quit worrying about the future and know that God has it in control. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the privilege we have to come together this morning. Lord, I thank You for a wonderful passage of Scripture. Thank You for encouraging our hearts this morning, at least mine. And I pray today that we'd understand that You're the one, no matter what takes place, what transpires, what we go through, what we experience, no matter what happens on Tuesday, nothing's going to change You. And Father, I pray that nothing would change us. We're going to keep on trusting, keep on working, keep on witnessing, keep on winning till Jesus calls us home. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.